time now. Only retreat or surrender. Or death.
Well, that's an easy choice for us, Arcadian. Spartans never retreat. Spartans never surrender.
Go, spread the word. Let every Greek assembled know the truth of this.
Let each among them search his own soul.
While you're at it, search your own.
This is the Warrior Mind Podcast, and I'm your host, Greg Swanson. Podcasting from beautiful Bend, Oregon, the Warrior Mind Podcast is a personal empowerment series that gives you the information required to develop a mindset of a warrior, maximize your human potential, and achieve peak performance.
Over 4 years and going strong, with over 400,000 downloads from over 9 countries and 5 continents. I'm Greg Swanson, and this is the Warrior Mind Podcast. Find out more about Warrior Mind Coaching and Training, please visit us at www.warriormindcoach.com. Greetings, everyone. Hope you've been enjoying this series on the ways, 15 ways you screw up your thinking. Been getting some really great feedback. If this is your first time listening, welcome. Thank you. Hope you get something out of the podcast. If this is your repeat visit, thank you so much for your loyalty, your patronage, and please spread the word about the podcast. It's here to help. It's here to help you be the best that you can possibly be. We're coming into, you know, only a couple of more months, 2 more months, and we're at the end of the year and we're starting into 2017. So part of this 3-part series on the ways you screw up your thinking is to help you realize how you screw up your thinking, and then to stop it so that you can start to think better, start establishing some very exciting goals for yourself for 2017, and start to live the life, live to your full potential. I mean, think about it. We all think we're doing good, and we can be doing good, and there's a great book out there, Good to Great. But if this is your peak, if this is all you're capable of doing, what are you going to do for excitement for the rest of your life? What are you going to do to push yourself if this is it? We are all capable of so much more, but we hold ourselves back. We hold ourselves back from fear because of many things. And part of it, we hold ourselves back because of these 15 ways we screw up our thinking. But you have so much more potential in you than you could ever believe. And it's there. And what the podcast is to help you, encourage you to find that potential, to find that courage, to step out of your limitation and step into your greatness that you have. So with that, let's get into the last 5 ways that you screw up your thinking. Number one, actually would be number, I guess, 11, but number one in this series is this emotional reasoning. So, you know, when we believe what we feel to be true and then start to live it, we can really mess up our lives. So, you know, if we feel stupid, we must go, well, that I am stupid. And then if we are stupid, we act stupid, and then we start to feel stupid. So if we feel clumsy and believe we're clumsy, we're going to act clumsy and we will be clumsy. So our feelings are our feelings. It doesn't mean that's who we are. Right. So we put these labels. So these emotions that we have are just feelings with a label. So we have this feeling. I got this tingly feeling in my stomach. I got this tingly feeling here. Well, then we put a label on it and it's called an emotion. If we took that label off, what would it be? It would be a feeling. And so by putting a label on that feeling, oh, I feel stupid, we then say, I feel stupid. So if I feel stupid, I must be stupid. So if I must be stupid, I can't make good decisions. And so the feelings are the feelings. The labels we put on them may not necessarily be true. They may be true of the feeling, but it doesn't mean it's true for who we are. And if we do say, I feel stupid, that's one thing. You know, I feel embarrassed. I feel violated, or I feel insecure, or whatever. Those feelings are there and we're labeling them, and that's one thing. But to say that I feel insecure, so I am insecure, is something different. we can't make so that, you know, this way of emotional reasoning is if I feel this way, it means I am this way. And we have to learn how to break that, to separate those two apart, that, hey, where did this feeling come from? What happened that you are feeling this? It doesn't mean that you are that. Let's find other ways. Let's find other evidence in your life that says that this is not who you are. So this emotional reasoning, we need to create a divide behind it. Acknowledge the feelings, acknowledge the emotions, put a label on it so we can discuss it, and realize that is not who we are. The next one is delusion of change. So this is where you expect other people will change to suit you if you just pressure or cajole them enough. I mean, how often have we tried, oh, you make me feel this way. You make me feel this. So stop doing what you're doing because you have to make me feel better. You better stop doing that because I need to feel happy. So you better stop doing this. So this is delusion of change. We try to change everybody around us so that our mood will change, our happiness will change, but what we've done is given our power away to everybody else. When we try to demand, I mean, think about it. I mean, really, really think about this. If we start to tell people that they make us feel a certain way, we have relinquished all of our power for our emotions. That means that they can make us feel happy. They can make us feel sad. They can make us feel angry. They can make us feel this way. They can make us feel that way. It's all a choice. So this delusion of change is that people will change if we keep pressuring them. Hey, don't do that. Stop that. And we try to change them to suit us. It's just not going to work. Then we're going to become frustrated and we're going to go, you're not listening to me. You're not changing. You're not doing this. And so then we get frustrated or you get frustrated because the other person isn't changing. And really, we can't change the other person. We can change how we respond to the other person. And sometimes by changing our response, that will change the behavior of the other person, or the other person might go away. But we can't think that by pressuring somebody or cajoling or bribing them that they're going to change because of us. We need to be responsible for our own happiness, our own change, our own lives, and how we respond to other people, as opposed to expecting them to change to suit us. And what's really funny about this, there are those individuals out there that say to other people that they're selfish for looking out for themselves and that they should be looking out for them. But in reality, they're the selfish ones because they want everything according to their world. And yet the other people are living according to their world, but that's selfish. But it's not selfish if they ask for it. Kind of strange. So the next one is global labeling. And this is where you generalize one or two qualities into a negative global judgment. Now, global could be your town. It could be your gym. It could be your workplace. It could be the world. You know, this is where bigotry comes in. This is where hatred comes in, is when we find, I mean, that's at the worst case, when we find a couple of things wrong with an ethnic group and say that they're all this way. You know, all whites are this way. All blacks are this way. All this people are this way. All this or that. I mean, this stereotyping, global labeling, can create so many problems. And we know at a bigger level that doesn't make sense. But yet we will do it on a very smaller level. We'll watch the news, which I don't recommend, but let's just say we watch the news and watch a couple of, and the police are in there and they're having a shootout with some folks and the people who they're having a shootout with is wearing a hoodie. And it may be a white, black, Hispanic, it doesn't matter, but they're wearing a hoodie so you can't see it. And so then you start walking down the street and you see kids in hoodies and you think they're all hoodlums. Now, I'm not saying to be aware of your surroundings, right? There's a difference to be between being aware and then saying that everybody who wears a hoodie is a gangster or a hoodlum, because then that's where this behavior comes in. So this global labeling is very dangerous, right? Because at a smaller level, and it doesn't even have to be in the sense of violence, right? It's talking about just people's religious backgrounds. It's talking about where they work. It's talking about any of those things. And we generally globalize those, and really we can really destroy, we can create a world that is so lopsided in our view because we generalize one or two qualities, negative qualities, across a whole group of people or a whole industry. All rich people are bad. Well, you know, there are very many rich people who do a lot of good. Yeah, there may be some that are bad. There's a lot of bad poor people as well. And there's a lot of poor people who do a lot of good through volunteering. So when we start to this global, oh, they always, or they are like this, when we start looking at that language, we need to find those exceptions to the rules. And that's the thing about the news. The news is the news because it's not the norm. If you look at it, they're showing only those things which are not normal. They're only a 2% of what's happening in the world or in the United States. But yet we think what they're showing on the news is normal. So we generalize what we see on the news and project it outward. When in reality, what's happening on news is a small percent of what's actually really happening in society. I'm not saying that it's not bad what's happening, but if it taints our vision and we have this global labeling because of the news, we are missing out on all the good things that are happening. So the next one here is being right. So this is where you're the trial lawyer all day long and trying to prove your opinions and actions are correct. Doesn't matter what the case is. It doesn't matter anything. You are always right. You're going to defend. You'd rather be right than happy. You'd rather defend yourself than have friends. You'd rather be alone and right than be, quote, wrong and happy. And this being right is such a tough one to get rid of, because once we think we're right. So here's the crazy thing is we will form an opinion, which is just that. It's an opinion. It doesn't mean it's fact. And be careful on where you get your facts from, because for every fact you find, there's going to be facts to the counter to that. So the fact and the truth, it may not be, but if you get it in your mind that something is so-and-so a certain way, most people will stand their grounds. They will not be open for other things that are happening. And when you feel that you have to prove yourself right all the time, one, that gets tiring. And two, you're not right all the time. Three, you're pushing away friends and family members who would enjoy your company. But two, so this being right, this being wrong is so unthinkable that even if you do see evidence contrary to what you're trying to make your point, you will not acknowledge it. You will be completely blind to it. And then this is where heated arguments come up. This is where friendships get broken. This is where relationships can tear apart because of one person having to be right all the time. And that usually comes from insecurity. And so if you feel that you have to be right all the time, what are you actually trying to hide? What are you hiding? What insecurities are you trying to hide behind that? So being right all the time. Hey, it's one thing if you know you're right and you're having a debate and you discuss it, but there's this extreme where you're trying to be right all the time is just going to screw up your thinking and screw up your relationships. So the last one is heaven's reward. That means if I sacrifice myself here, if I do self-denial, there's someone's keeping score and you're going to feel better and you'll feel better when the reward doesn't come, in a sense. That means you're self-sacrificing, and you want to, make yourself feel better about those things. And it's, you know, self-denial. You think these things are going to pay off. And so you don't live your life now. You are putting off your life now for a reward later. Now, this is not a religious perspective, but this is more of just how you screw up your thinking that you are going to that there's somebody keeping score or something's keeping score, and that the more you sacrifice now, the more there's going to be something else for you someplace else. Now, sacrificing is one thing, but this last topic could be very touchy, but we need to understand that when we are here and we can help others, that's not necessarily a sacrifice, but when we are this self-denial to a point of we're not happy and we're causing others around us not to be happy, really, where is the reward in that? And the reward is here, right? We are here now, and we all talk about be now, be in the present, being in the moment. And what's the best that you can do right now? What's the best that you can absolutely, how can you help somebody better or help somebody right now to a better life? Those are the things that's not necessarily sacrificing. So this last one is challenging at best to grasp, especially from a religious perspective. But there is this martyrism that if I sacrifice, things will be better for me someplace else. Well, maybe it will, maybe it won't, but why not live to the fullest right now? Why not live to your full capacity? Why not help change the world you're living in right now? Why not help others right now? Why not be the best you can be? Set an example for others so they can be the best they can be. And if we all start doing the best we all can be, the world will be a better place. But if we sacrifice and play small and don't do the courageous things in life, the world will get smaller and tinier, and then we won't have the abundance. So when we can start to live into our full potential, others will live into their full potential. So that's it. Those are the 15. The other two podcasts went over the first part and the second part. One of the things that if you want to work on these 15 ways you screw up your thinking, there's an assessment, a mental strength assessment that you can take that'll help you with your thinking. With that mental strength assessment, you will also get a workbook and a toolkit to use that. And you can find out more by going to mentalstrengthmastery.com. This assessment is really awesome. It nails down your level of mental strength. It gives you some cues as to what to work on. And you'll also will get a toolkit, some things to work on, and then also a workbook for your journaling on it. And again, that's at mentalstrengthmastery.com. If you want to, my book, Develop Mental Strength of a Warrior, I've converted that into an online program. With that, you also get my free book, Self-Mastery. And you can go to warriormindtraining.com to pick up that online program. Again, warriormindtraining.com. Well, I hope you enjoyed this podcast in this series. I would love to hear from you. You can contact me, give me feedback by going to warriormindcoach.com/blog. Look for the contact me tab and send me a note or a voice message.
Thanks for listening to the Warrior Mind podcast. If you like what you heard, please tell your friends and subscribe at warriormindcoach.com/podcast. Also, make sure you sign up for the Warrior Mind newsletter and check out our blog at warriormindcoach.com/blog. Until next time, live with courage. And remember, every facet, every compartment of your mind is to be programmed by you. And unless you take your rightful responsibility and begin to program your own mind, the world will program it for you.
I am not a warrior. Very soon.